Aha, boys and girls, there's the theme song of the Children's Bible Club calling you. Calling all Bible Clubbers! Calling all Bible Clubbers! When the ice cream man drives through your neighborhood, ringing his bell and playing his little tunes, you know to run to meet him. And when you hear the kids singing that Glory Hallelujah song, you know to come running to your radio and get set for the Children's Bible Club broadcast. I'm not the ice cream man, but I'm Aunt Carolyn with a good story from God's wonderful word. You know, ice cream will melt and be gone, but God's truth lasts forever. The choir children also are here to sing unto the Lord. How about joining in with them right now? Choir? Choir. Oh my, Aunt Carolyn has a problem. I wanted to give you a good question today, a question you could look up in your Bible and then let me know if you found the answer. But if I give you the question and tell you where to find the answer, I'll give the answer away. Oh, what shall I do? Can you tell me what to do? Let's see. Scratch your thinking cap a minute. Maybe we'll figure a way. Ah, I know. Yes, this will work. Here's the question. In the Bible, what great leader said to the Israelites, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This leader wanted the people to make up their minds if they were going to serve God or not. But there was no question about it to him. He and his family were going to serve and obey God regardless. And that's just how we should be, too. But tell me, who was that man? Who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Here's the clue. Look in the 6th book of the Bible, chapter 24 and verse 15. It's right there in black and white. The 6th book of the Bible, chapter 24 and verse 15. Take the challenge, will you? Find your answer and send it to me, Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. That's Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. I'll send you a little prize if your answer is correct. And now, here's the choir again. Israel was in. Can you imagine the stress Moses and Aaron were under? Leading 2 million disgruntled Israelites in the wilderness became more impossible every day. First, the people refused to obey God to enter the promised land. Then they vowed to enter against his will and blame Moses when their scheme brought disaster. Then some selfish priests and princesses led a revolt against Moses, causing their own and their family's deaths when a giant chasm opened in the earth and buried them alive. After that, fire fell from heaven and devoured 250 princes. But 3 judgments did not stop the people's griping, and God sent a deadly plague. If Aaron had not quickly made an atonement, the whole congregation would have died. How long would these people scorn God? How often Moses had interceded for them, yet they rebelled the more. They not only tried to usurp Moses' authority, they rebelled against Aaron and tried to take over the priest's office too. Nothing Moses could say brought peace. Now God would end this anarchy. He would show who was his chosen priest to make atonement for the people. The priesthood was a job appointed by God only, and God would soon settle the question. "Moses," God commanded, "call the people together again. Let the head prince from each tribe step forward. Let him bring his rod before me and write his name on it. Let Aaron stand forth for the tribe of Levi and write his name on his rod. Then take all the rods together, put them in the tabernacle, and lay them before the Ark of the Testimony. I will meet you there. Now the man whom I choose to be priest, that man's rod will blossom. There will be no doubt whom I have called. We will settle this matter once for all. I will stop this griping against you. I will end the murmuring." Well, the part about the griping being stopped must have sounded wonderful to Moses. But putting 12 princes' rods, 12 short, heavy, dead wood clubs before the ark, and expecting one of them to come to life and blossom, well, that would take a miracle. Just as God commanded, Moses took each man's rod, checked the name on it, and laid it before the ark in the tabernacle. I doubt if any of those princes slept much that night, wondering what would happen. How could a dead piece of wood put on flowers? Dead wood is dead. How could God show anything with a chunk of wood? Once for all, indeed. But next morning, at the break of dawn, the congregation gathered once more. The princes and people held their breath, and tension mounted as Moses entered the tabernacle. The troubled crowd watched as the anxious princes lined up in the order of their tribe. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and so on down the line. Would it be the oldest in Jacob's line, or the youngest, or someone in between? At last, Moses came out with all of the rods so the people could see the result with their own eyes. There they were, 11 dead rods. But Aaron's rod was alive. Aaron's rod not only had buds, but it bloomed flowers and even put on almonds. It bore fruit. It takes life to bear fruit. Oh, God had spoken. There was no doubt that Aaron was his chosen priest. There was no question. God had brought to life a dead wooden rod and made it bring forth flowers and fruit. Oh, God had worked a miracle. It was wonderful. God was wonderful, and the people feared their God of might and power. Then God told Moses to take Aaron's rod that budded and put it in the Ark of the Testimony in the tabernacle. It was to remain there always to remind the children of Israel that Aaron was the priest who God had given authority to make atonement for their sin. He alone could go into the Holy of Holies. No one else was ever to assume that place. Oh, God is good, and in Aaron he gave us a picture of the perfect one who would make atonement for our sins. Aaron offered bulls and goats and sheep as the sacrifice for the people's sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came all the way from heaven's glory to this earth's dark wilderness of sin. He suffered and gave himself as the sacrifice for our sins. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Only Christ could meet God's demand for a perfect sacrifice, and he gave his life for you and me. Christ died for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead. God brought Jesus back to life, proving that he accepted the sacrifice Jesus made for our sin, and showing once for all that he alone is our high priest. Jesus Christ is now in heaven praying for those who trust him as their only Savior. If you're God's child by faith, it's wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. It's also wonderful to know that you can come to the Heavenly Father with your needs through Jesus' name. You need no man or priest or go-between. You can pray directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. We can come boldly to him. The key is not to be like the unbelieving, self-centered children of Israel, but to be humble and obey God's holy word. And now, God bless you until next time.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.